Shalom, Havarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This Dan, along with my lovely lady and teacher of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, Toda, my love, and Erev Tov to you all. We have been refreshing ourselves on how to properly disciple new believers with good study habits. And last week we looked at some typology, as in pictures, represented through Abraham and Isaac. And next week we will begin to look at the Jewish wedding as a picture of our betrothment. But this week we will cover some things that I left out and also the important areas that we need to recap. But first, let us bless our Lord.
Oh Lord, our God and creator of all things, we bless your holy name and all your names. We are grateful to have been birthed in your spirit and washed in your blood. Thank you for our many blessings, as we also bless you as well. We lift up to you these recent prayer requests and pray for our soldiers and for Israel as they endure their battle against evil. Please continue to pull at the heartstrings of our unsaved loved ones, so they too can become the bride of Christ to partake of your soon coming kingdom. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, wow, there is so much news going on. It's hard to choose what's the most important for Christians to hear in such a small amount of time, but we will try.
How about the good news first?
Yes, and this is good news. And that's that Israel was able to, after daring gunfire, I might add, by the way, it was, but they were able to free two more hostages held in Rafah near the southern gate with Egypt, which is why Israel says they need to continue these offenses in this area, where they believe many more hostages are being held. And, of course, many don't agree with that. Unfortunately, Hezbollah from Lebanon continued daily to shoot many missiles into Israel's north, as the IDF also must defuse scuffles in the West Bank while keeping an eye on the Red Sea, as the Houthis also continue shooting at international ships. Egypt met today with Qatar and Israeli officials to discuss a hostage exchange and, of course, a possible ceasefire, which means more aid into Gaza.
Biden is pushing for at least 6 weeks.
Yeah, which will help Hamas regroup and smuggle in more weapons.
And you have a few words about UNRWA.
Oh, boy. You mean that anti-Israel UN agency that is known for helping the Palestinians? And okay, we get that. But we now know for sure they not only helped Hamas attack Israel on October 7th, they also then held some hostages in their houses. As well, and this is big, a massive Hamas center was found underneath UNRWA headquarters in Israel, along with extensive tunnels.
Obviously, UNRWA and Hamas have been working hand in hand.
Oh, absolutely. So now Israel is denying visas to any UN staff member. And as of this morning, the IDF is continuing to move forward, as Netanyahu says victory is within reach. So over here, the U.S. Senate voted today to move forward with a $95 billion foreign aid bill. But the problem is $60 billion of that is going to Ukraine, who still has not been held accountable for all its past billions.
And Israel to receive only $14
billion. And $10 billion is miscellaneous, like our military, which is very needed. But also a portion will go to the Palestinians while doing absolutely nothing in this bill to secure our border.
And then there's that very important clause.
Oh, right. This is unbelievable. This bill also contains legislation to make it mandatory for Ukraine to continue receiving billions of dollars through, wait for it, September of 2025.
No way.
Yeah, way. The purpose of this legislation is to tie a future president's hands.
Likely Trump.
Right, because he has insisted he would end the war very quickly. Well, they want to make it impossible for the next president to conduct diplomacy on his own terms. And if Trump were to try to change it, it could be grounds for his impeachment.
So, bind Trump's hands, so to spend more of our tax dollars through the first year of his presidency.
Mm-hmm. That's why the House, they won't pass it. Unless, of course, there's always the rhinos that jump ship again.
And still no legislation for our border.
Right. It's continual betrayal. And it's by a dysfunctional, divided Congress and a criminally run executive branch that acts, I think, actively funds terrorism a lot through, of course, backdoor organizations. While giving billions of funding for Ukraine's border, but acts like it's not our responsibility to defend the invasion happening at our own border.
You know, it's an upside-down world.
Oh, and listen to this. Illegal migrants are now taking up residence in the homes of woke Americans who were kind enough to be host families. But one family said that within 1 hour of signing up to do it, four unvetted illegals were dropped off at their home, and this was in Massachusetts. And they still wonder if more are coming.
We commend them for that.
Well, of course we do, but I wonder if they ever thought about housing our own homeless. And we must comment on the documents case where special counsel decided not to indict President Biden, even though he was just a senator and a vice president at the time, which means it was illegal to take them home. So Mr. Hearst says Biden is too frail with little memory to go before a jury, but he can run again for president?
You know, that's just crazy.
And we're still investigating his corruption with Hunter's business dealings by assuring other leaders of Joe's favorable accessibility.
Yeah, as in communist China, among others.
Well, in Trump's document case, he was president and therefore allowed to declassify and have them. But they will not dismiss his case, of course, claiming Trump should have turned them over sooner.
You know, that's a gross double standard.
And we are all waiting for our federal Supreme Court to decide whether Trump can be disqualified from Colorado's election ballot. And one more thing. Trump wants our Supreme Court to also weigh in on the already appellate court decision where they said that he could not receive immunity concerning his involvement in the January 6th protests.
Wow. Why does he put himself through all this?
Well, he says he loves his country and hates what's happening to
mm-hmm.
it. Okay, and lastly, I must convey to the listeners that amongst many other sometimes lethal side effects, we're still seeing a disturbing and continuing trend of cardiac arrests in people who have taken the mRNA vaccine. And that was just said by our world-renowned cardiologist, Dr. Peter McCullough, on Friday, who adds that they have new data from human cardiac PET scan studies, and of course that means positron emission tomography, that these scans of the heart show how the heart metabolism considerably and almost immediately changes in almost everyone who took the shot. Church, please keep sharing these truths. Don't ignore what's still happening because most people just don't connect the dots. As we always knew they wouldn't.
Okay, well, we welcome all your comments and end-time questions either by email to Sheila at ShofarMinistries.net or call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006 or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Please consider a love offering, which is always appreciated, and any correspondence will place you on our newsletter mailings. You can also bless us with your donation on our webpage, shofarministry.net, where all our past radio and newsletters are as well archived for your continued learning pleasure.
Okay, as we said at the front of the program, there are some things we would like to point out as important truths to keep in mind when discipling. You know, way back before I was ordained many years ago, I was training to be an Assembly of God certified teacher, and I wrote down a few of the more vital notes that I still live by today. And I'm going to share with you. And this particular passage was taken from their teaching manual that actually went around the world. It was titled, How to Interpret the Bible. And honey, if you could read that part from chapter 11.
To accept the literal meaning of words and statements in their normal, usual, customary, proper designation.
Yes. Unless, of course, it says it's like something else, as in the apocalyptic books, especially Revelation. But let me give you an example. You know, when it speaks of the arm of the Lord, it doesn't have to mean God has a literal arm, but rather to call attention to God's power in terms we can understand. And we felt this to be important to reiterate because we live in a time when the word is being used not only out of context, but some will say it means something else without factual evidence or proof of a mistranslation, which, by the way, is small. It's less than like 2%. But honestly, most scholars will now admit that their own error mostly occurred when they hadn't taken it literally enough.
A classic example of that is the sons of God in Genesis 6.
Yeah, and saying it meant they were the descendants of Cain, while ignoring other scriptures, as in Job.
Another point is to interpret the Bible in the light of the times in which it was written.
And that was a turning point for me way over 30 years ago, which perked my desire to have at least a little knowledge in the culture and the history of the people for a better understanding. You know, we also need to take into accord the time of the writing and the reason it was written, as well as the circumstances of the writer, as in what they were doing at the time.
Well, you know, John and Paul are great examples of this.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And others, especially the prophets in the Old Testament.
And another reminder is that Scripture interprets Scripture.
Yes, because it provides guidance from doctrinal error. This is where your center column references play a huge role.
And a concordance, too.
Yeah. You know that God did not reveal, by the way, everything to man in the beginning.
There is progressive revelation.
Yes, although most all of it is in the Bible. It's just waiting for the right time for the Holy Spirit to reveal certain truths at his discretion, saving certain details for his last generation. And even the angel Gabriel told Daniel that same thing in chapter 12.
Yes, he did.
So then, last week, we looked at typology, which can be a lot of fun in my view. And we'll look at that typology of the Jewish wedding next week, where culture and customs play a big role.
Which is why we call attention to our Hebraic roots.
That's right. And of course, as we said before, always have your concordance handy to look up any word that the Holy Spirit quickens to you. And another good example of that is John 3:16.
That whoever believes in him should not perish and have everlasting life.
Do you know how many people are aware of that scripture and say, well, sure, I believe in Jesus and accept the fact that he was even here, but often are unaware of what to believe in him really means. So, if you look up the word believe, it's number 4100, pisteuo in the Greek, it means to put one's trust into and commit to it.
You know, and it's even more precise in the lexicon.
Yes, it gives an even more contextual meaning, which I looked that up and it says, a conviction and marking entrance into a state of mind, a pledge of total obedience. So share that with the next person who says, well, they believe, if you might question their walk. But let's look at the character of the Holy Spirit concerning his role in our understanding of Scripture. You know, God through the Holy Spirit inspired the authors of Scripture and illuminates our understanding as we search his word. And, of course, the key word here is?
Search.
Yeah. Paul to the Corinthians in chapter 2 of his first letter speaks about the hidden wisdom that is revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. And of course, our favorite is Proverbs 25, verse 2, that says,
it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter.
Yeah, I just love that. Mm-hmm. Yes, because we are his kings and priests. So says Revelation 1. So here it says that we must do the digging. And the Holy Spirit illuminates as we search, as he decides what to reveal.
At the proper time.
Which is why our last generation is understanding truths in a deeper way today, which is not new truths, but rather not illuminated until now. And I suspect that will probably continue all the way to the millennial kingdom.
We've all been there.
Oh, for sure. We've all said, wow, I've never seen that before. Again, always there till the Holy Spirit reveals it as a glory to the searcher. So with that said, don't only rely on the Holy Spirit to open your eyes without your arduous study. As the famous J.I. Packer said many years ago,
the Spirit is not given to make Bible study needless, but to make it effective.
So true. Now let's examine what Jesus said to his disciples about the coming Holy Spirit in John 16:13.
However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth.
Key words here?
All truth.
Yeah, so continue.
For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears
from the Father,
he will speak and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you.
So, we know the Trinity works hand in glove. But the real point here is that Jesus said that after Matthew 24:36, when he said,
no one knows the day or the hour but my Father.
Right. So according to the Greek language, this is a present tense statement, meaning at that time, no one knew. But then we see later in his ministry that Jesus tells them that the Holy Spirit will come and guide them into all truth.
Again, notice the word all.
Right. So he was speaking to his disciples, many of which would be writing the New Testament under inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
And he's inspiring today.
He sure is. And again, we call that progressive revelation. And as the Spirit sees fitting, he will unveil certain truths from Scripture for the particular times when needed. So when people say to me, oh, no one knows the day or the hour, I explain that meant not yet and give them John 16:13. So, bottom line, the more we study, and that's with diligence, as Paul said to Timothy, the more we will know as the Spirit also grows in us, therefore increases our knowledge.
And we need to study the whole Bible, not just the New Testament.
Oh, that is so right. Which reminds me how Jesus rebuked the Pharisees. Do you remember that? For not knowing of his coming. Why did they not expect him, especially as a servant first?
Well, because they only read the Torah.
In fact, they memorized it. Probably more of a pride thing, you know, like in front of others, look what I've done. You know, look how holy we are. But, unfortunately, they weren't studying the prophets.
The Essenes did.
Yes, they did. Which is why they left the bad teachings of the Pharisees. And they went into the desert of Qumran.
Which we visited and is definitely a wilderness.
Yes, it is, but it was awesome. Oh, okay, so the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they would read a few certain passages from the prophets at synagogue on Saturday. But interesting that they never read Isaiah 53. We are seeing a similar thing in most of our churches today. Even the born-again assemblies are admitting they don't teach the prophetic books because, I heard one say, well, it's just so divisive.
But there's only one truth.
Right. So examine the divisiveness and then reprove it. Talk about it and use contextual scripture. That's what God wants us to do. Honestly, in my opinion, many feel Bible prophecy is too time consuming. Well, I guess the past, especially when today a pastor can acquire any sermon they want on the internet. And I have noticed when a few do teach on the prophetic books, and I have listened to some explain Revelation, it's often surfacey, lacking real depth, that's found in the Old Testament. And they often miss the typology, especially in the seven churches. But praise the Lord for the remnant teachers who do.
Anytime to move on.
Okay.
Because we just have a few minutes left, so how about a teaser for next week?
How about one? Okay. We will continue with more typology, as I said, to include our Hebraic roots. So here's the teaser. And this is, of course, so you'll make sure you tune in again next week. But our betrothal to Jesus matches the three different ways for a Jewish betrothal slash wedding to take place in the first century. Remember, things have changed since then, especially during the Dark Ages. So we study how it was when Jesus walked and before. Example, they did not wear yarmulkes in Jesus' day, nor have bar mitzvahs or bat mitzvahs as they do today for girls. But think on this for next time. The betrothal could be arranged by either the father, to include from infancy, or the young man himself, or an agent. So compare those three ways, and we'll cover that in detail next week. But how about you? If you don't know the Lord, repent and invite him in, for he is knocking on the door of your heart right now. Turn over your life to Christ. He's your Savior. Read his word for total sanctification, strength, and power over the enemy who wants to torment you. Christ suffered greatly, being crucified for you. He paid your entire debt for your sins. I know you hear his voice, but it's your move and always your choice. Don't be a fool. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing from number 622. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.